Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
You've probably heard me say on this podcast from time to time that I've had more difficulty through the years dealing with sports fans disliking me or disliking my opinion or being upset with me and getting confrontational or radical or unhinged more than since I started doing politics. And granted, some of that is in politics, people on the left have, well, they don't listen to the podcast. They probably have no motivation to try to reach out or, look, Jessica says there's a lot of stuff on Twitter and things like that of people still saying things. I don't see that. I'm talking about my personal interactions with people, emails that I receive, encounters that I have in person with folks, and the way things go. And there's no comparison, in my opinion, to the brazen attempts for people that are sports fans to walk up to you, get in your face, and let you have it over an opinion you had about their sports team or a player on their sports team or something you said about sports than there is in politics. Most of what I get now is people coming up, patting me on the back, saying they love it. They're glad I'm out of the closet. We love the fact that you're conservative. I have people that give me weird glances. I've had some people tell me that they don't like my podcast. I've had people, certainly in my circle of friends or people in my life or whatever, relationships damaged because of what I'm doing now that didn't really occur when it was in sports. But I'm just talking about, you know, people who love sports, number one, and people who love politics, number one. People who love politics, number one, will more than likely stay with their political group, become active, do whatever it is they're going to do, and go do that. Sports fans don't tend to do that. They won't just stay with their team, with their fan base, with their friends, and say, I can let this slide. They got to come find the guy who said something bad about their team or something bad about their coach that they didn't like and let him have it. A couple of times it was scary through the years. A couple times. Not very often. A couple times it was scary in public. You thought somebody was going to try to hit you or do something. A couple times it escalated to something that was kind of ugly. That's not happened with me in politics yet. I'm thankful for that. I don't think that's going to happen in politics. I think a lot of people are afraid to discuss politics. I think the overwhelming majority of people are afraid to say anything political, especially in public. They don't want to be identified or labeled as that. And I think that's why people don't come up to me and say anything about this stuff. Sports is different. Sports people are more than happy to proclaim that they're on a certain team, that they like this team and not that team, which we don't really do publicly in politics, or people are afraid to do publicly in politics. So I've tried to pass along to all of you that there is something crazier, and maybe, you know, maybe not the ultra extreme 1%, 2%, whatever. There's something crazier in a large swath of sports fans that does not exist in politics. And we now have the classic example of what that is. It was brought out by this name, image, and likeness, which I have been against from the start, only because of the way it's being implemented. I think the way this should have always been done, if they want to do name, image, and likeness and find boosters and sponsors to put money in a kitty and pay players, there should be a player scale. It should be a lot like we see with a wage scale in Major League Baseball or the NFL or any other sport. You want to pay these players? Let's decide how much that is. And schools don't go to the taxpayers to get it. Boosters can fill the coffers to pay all the athletes, or that school can fall short and not get to the maximum pay. Whatever we decide the maximum pay is going to be, if a school doesn't have enough money to do that, then their pay is lower. Fine. What we see that in baseball. Look, Nick Saban made comments about Texas A&M. You guys know all about this story. That A&M finished number one in recruiting. They paid all 30 of their players to come to A&M. Saban went on to say, we didn't pay any of ours. We pay them when they get here. We had 25 players last year that were already here that shared $3 million in name, image, and likeness endorsements. We do it the right way. He essentially said A&M did it the other way. I didn't even hear Saban call them cheaters, by the way. What I heard him say was the NCAA can't handle this. There are no rules right now. And everybody is, you're supposed to not pay a player until they get there. Saban says he's doing that. He says A&M didn't. But nobody's going to enforce this. This is like a speeding. It's like, oh, he drove 38 when the speed limit was 35. That's what Saban was saying, in my opinion. Everybody's out there doing it. Miami did it in broad daylight. Saban referenced Nigel Pack, a basketball player from Kansas State. He referenced Nigel Pack while he was talking about this and said the kid from Kansas State goes to Miami and gets $900,000, $400,000 a year. Well, everybody knows that was a recruiting enticement. He didn't get that after going to Miami. They were brazen. They were out in the open. They flaunted the fact that they went and got him and brought him in here to do this. So Saban is right. Let's cut through all the crap, whether you like Nick Saban or not. He's correct. What he is saying is accurate. It is true. And you don't get a reaction from Jimbo Fisher like the reaction Jimbo Fisher, the coach at A&M, gave on Thursday without it being true. You don't. Fisher just unloaded in front of the media. He said Saban is a fraud. He said he's a narcissist. He's despicable. He thinks he's God. He went after him and said, look into his past. There's a reason I never went back and worked for him. Some coaches do it the right way. Some do it the wrong way. They asked if he had spoken with Saban. He says, no. He says, he's reached out to me. He's called me. And they said, are you going to talk to him? He goes, no, I'm done. He said, we're done. We're done. He said, I'm never talking to Nick Saban again. Saban has apologized, said I didn't mean to single you out. He didn't single him out. He mentioned A&M getting 30 players. He mentioned Deion Sanders at Jackson State paying one player $1 million to come to Jackson State, the number one player in the country. Deion Sanders fired back by essentially saying Nick Saban's a racist. He says, our people stay with our people, is what Deion wrote. In other words, I got a black player to come play for a black coach. It's a race thing. You racist, you don't understand our people. Do you see what NIL is doing to college athletics? The bigger concern, obviously, is disparity on the field, which we're going to see. It's going to be remarkable, the seismic shift in college athletics, and most of us aren't going to like it. Most of us aren't. But now look what it's doing to these people, and this is what I'm talking about. You think politics is blood sport? Look at what they're doing to each other. Because the rules are gray, they're cloudy, everybody knows the NCAA cannot enforce this right now. There's nothing they can do. But the real example, the top example of what I've been talking about for many months now in this podcast, about how in many ways sports fans are far more biased, blinded, they wear blinders because of their team. They absolutely wear blinders and are completely unhinged when it comes especially to college athletics over professional athletics, especially college. The classic example is Clay Travis, who pretty much everybody listening to this podcast likes. He's a powerful, influential member of the media that's conservative. We like that. He crossed over, has done plenty of news. He's on Fox News. OutKick is a wonderful website. The guy's a tremendous businessman. He's been ultra successful. There have been so many occasions when it comes to college athletics that I disagree with Clay Travis. I've lost track. And he couldn't be more wrong this time. Clay Travis has authored a piece that says college athletics just went from communism to capitalism. In other words, we had all these people making all this money in college athletics. This is his argument, and this sounds right. Follow me. This sounds right. But wait for my argument. And I would debate this with Clay Travis all day long as to why he's wrong. Now, he's an SEC elitist. He knows that the money will flow in the SEC. He's a Tennessee fan. He knows there's plenty of money at Tennessee. They're going to have – Tennessee's been down for what, 20 years? They've sucked for 20 years. He sees this as Tennessee's chance. We've got money. We'll pay players. We'll get them here, and we're going to be great again. He sees this massive school. He sees the state of Tennessee growing exponentially. It's thriving behind Florida, maybe like no other state in America. These are the good old days in the state of Tennessee, but not with Rocky Top, not with their football team. He sees this as their lifeline. He argues that the people at the top of college athletics made a lot of money on the backs of the hardworking kids that come in here and get nothing. He calls that communism. He says college athletics has gone from communism to capitalism overnight, and it's created mayhem. Now, NIL has happened, and not overnight, but over the last 2 years, we've got mayhem. Nobody knows where college athletics is headed. I think it's headed to a bad place. I think it's headed to something that most of us won't recognize or like the way we used to like college athletics. I believe that. I hope I'm wrong. But to argue college athletics has gone from communism to capitalism is completely dead wrong. This is not communism. When you take a young person that is 18 years old and say, we want to give you $300,000 to $500,000 worth of education, housing, food, travel, benefits, clothing, and cash stipends. And at the end of your 4 or 5 year tenure, when you walk out the door after receiving this $500,000 worth of stuff, you're going to have a college degree or the opportunity to have a college degree in any field that you choose and go out into the real world if you're not capable of playing football the rest of your life and have a college education and be ahead of most people in America. Now, if you can define for me how that's communism, I'd like to know how that is. Capitalism is this. It's a free market system. You're 18 years old. You have your choice. Do I want to sign with this school? So let's use Tennessee. Do I want to sign with the University of Tennessee, get my free education, get my swag, be a celebrity on campus, get the girls, get free money every month, a check, get a free place to stay, all my meals paid for, travel in private jets and stay in five-star hotels? Do I want to do that for 4 or 5 years between the ages of 18 and 23? Or do I not want to do that? That's not communism. It's your choice. Do you like the deal or don't you? And we have an undefeated record in college athletics. We don't remember one athlete that ever turned that down. I'm looking for the athlete that said, nope, not good enough. I'm going to go to work at Starbucks. I don't remember that person. I don't remember the player that said, yeah, not good enough. I'm going to go down to local 101 and become an operating engineer. I don't remember that athlete. I don't remember anybody that didn't take the deal. It is and was capitalism. The deal was good enough. Did some people get there and become stars? And all of a sudden they said, wow, I'm worth more than this because I'm so famous. Yes, and that's why NIL was passed. Okay, you got here. You're a star player. You can do endorsements. You should be able to make money off that. Great. But they don't implement it that way. There's no structure to the system. They can't figure that out. Certainly, they can't police it, and they cannot enforce it. But it is not communism to capitalism, and here's why. Is American Idol, you know American Idol, the show, the American Idol show, is that communism? Because those kids get nothing. They come on that show, they get clothes, they get mainly, which is what college athletes get, the opportunity for exposure on a national basis for employers to see you. The opportunity to advance your career. We're taking you from obscurity, out of nowhere, putting you in front of the entire nation on television, and allowing you the opportunity to basically do a job interview every night you're on here. We will dress you up. We will get you a makeup artist. We will coach you. We believe you have some talent. We'll give you every opportunity to be seen. We're going to pay you a little bit of money while you do this. We're going to put you up in a five-star hotel in LA. We'll fly you out here. We'll bring your family. We'll do all that. And if you win, we'll give you $1 million and a Vegas residency. I'm looking for the people that try out for American Idol that don't accept it when they get the golden ticket. I don't remember one. I don't remember the person that says, oh, yeah, I really don't want to go to Hollywood or do the golden ticket. I don't want the opportunity to be seen and have my career advance. That's what college athletics is. It's American Idol. It's The Voice. Hell, it's Jeopardy. It's a game show. You know, Family Feud, we watch sometimes late at night. This is the stupidest game show ever from a standpoint of the finances. It's no wonder they all make so much money. You pay your own way. You fly to Atlanta. You stay in your hotel. And you come on a show that if you win, which is a 50-50 proposition, you have about a 20% chance after that to win the bonus round, which if you win that, pays $20,000, which sounds great, except there's five people on your team. So you each make $4,000. You're going to pay taxes on that. If you're lucky, you're coming away with $3,000. And you've just had to fly to Atlanta, stay in the hotel, pay your expenses, probably buy a new suit because you have to wear a jacket and tie and whatever, probably buy new clothes and go on. But that isn't why people go. Yes, they want to win. Yes, it's a thrill to get the 20 grand. That means if you win, you got a free trip to Atlanta with your family. You got to stay for several days. You got to meet Steve Harvey. You got to go on TV. You got to be seen. It's fun. It's an experience. I don't know any family that wouldn't love to go do that show and win the 20 grand. But if you lose, you get nothing. Zero. If you win the game and not the bonus round, you win like whatever, $5 per point. So if you got 300 points, you win $1,500 or something to split between five people. You've lost money. Hell, even that's not communism. It's your choice. Do you want to go try to win the big money on Family Feud? There are more examples than that. How about Disney Channel? They put child actors on who can sing and act. Well, and look, I'm not defending Disney. They got a lot of problems with them. When they put these kids on TV, and you've got a chance at age 8 or whatever to be on the Mickey Mouse Club or whatever it was, and your name's Miley Cyrus, and you become a star and you eventually leave Disney and you make hundreds of millions of dollars, was that communism? Was it communism when Justin Timberlake was on Disney Channel? When, as a kid, they found talent in Justin Timberlake and they said, here you are, do these kids' shows. And they cultivated that talent and they coached him and they taught him. And they paid him, by the way, pretty well as a child actor. Not what he's making now. You grow up, you go out on your own, you've had the platform, you have a fan base for life. Justin Bieber became a star at age, what, 13? Was that communism? He made a YouTube video. And people found him. And they started hiring him. And he didn't make very much money. And now he makes a lot. Was that communism? No, that's the American dream. This is what we do in this country. You go from... if you're really good at what you do, you go from making a little to making a lot. So in high school, if you're really good at football, you make nothing, but you get the college scholarship. To a 15-year-old, it's everything. I had lunch yesterday, or not lunch, I had a meeting yesterday afternoon with a friend whose son is a really good, young high school golfer. And he's like, wow, the expense of getting exposure to these coaches to become a college golfer and all this, he said, this is unbelievable. We might wind up spending more money trying to get a golf scholarship then the scholarship is actually worth. But parents will do it. You want to do this for your kid. You want to give them the chance to compete and be the best they can be at their sport. This is not communism to capitalism. Football players never turn down the deal to get $400,000 worth of goodies. Hell, it's more than that now. It's a $500,000 to go be a football player for 5 years. There's no question. It's a $500,000. And they pay you cash. Every month, a stipend. You get money every month to go spend and go on dates and do what college kids do. You're paid well. Oh, but that wasn't good enough. We got superstar college athletes and they deserve to make millions. And so we're doing this. They're driving Maseratis in Austin, Texas. The running back for the Texas Longhorns, Bijan Robinson, has a Maserati. Just the dealership said, here, you're good enough. You should have this Maserati. And that's what he's driving. See, this is where we had to go. We had to do more, right? It wasn't good enough to say, if you stay here for a couple, 3 years, the NFL will draft you and they'll pay you millions. That wasn't good enough. That's not communism to capitalism. Clay Travis couldn't be more wrong. And I like Clay Travis, but he is absolutely blinded with his SEC football blinders and his love for the Tennessee Volunteers and all of these other things. He's unhinged. The SEC is unhinged. The SEC is something... Well, boy, this is going to piss a lot of people off. But it is the same kind of, you know, when we compare it to politics, SEC football is a religion. It's like the far right or the far left on abortion. They ain't budging. And they lose. Clay Travis understands the difference between communism and capitalism. He knows. He's a smart man. He knows the difference. And he knows college football is not communism. And it never was. He knows that. But because that's more important to him, and it supersedes anything you would ever say politically. And I never wanted to be this guy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that's going to sit here and put sports on some pedestal that's more important than the Constitution or the American way of life or our traditions of what we are in America. I'm not going to be that guy. You're not going to hear me say college athletics is communism. That's unhinged. That's a guy that Tennessee football is more important to him than the Constitution or the American way of life. And he's astute. He's politically, he gets a lot of this stuff. You've seen him on TV. It makes sense. When he says something like that, he loses, in my mind, Clay Travis has lost all credibility with political commentary. To me, maybe not to you, I can't speak, but to me, he's lost it all. And I have witnessed over 30-some years, 36 years covering sports, the overzealous nature of sports fans to completely lose their minds of anything about the real world because of the blinders they wear and the sport that they love. Mostly college football, but college basketball is the same way in some places. There are more places in football, but there are some places in college basketball, it's the exact same way. And there's no other way to describe it. You cannot make any argument that paying an 18-year-old kid that has no idea they'll ever be able to make a dollar playing football, even the best recruits, the number one recruit in the country, there is no guarantee that player will ever make a buck in the NFL. The NFL ain't taking 18-year-olds, period. They can't, first of all, physically, they can't compete. No matter how great a prospect you are at 18, you cannot compete in the NFL. You can't. You're not big enough. You're not fast enough. You're not strong enough. You're going to get snapped in two. They don't want you. And then if you go to college, you may be injury prone. Something may happen. Your life may unravel. You may never make it to the pros. It is a hell of a deal to go to college and get $500,000 worth of goodies for free when you're 18 years old. It is the greatest deal. And I speak as a parent that paid for three kids to go to college. And in all likelihood, a small percentage of you listening right now had kids that got scholarships and you were thrilled by that. I had two of my three got scholarships. They were not athletic. We were thrilled to have academic money come our way. That was great. What a blessing. We were thrilled for that. They worked very hard to do that and they got it. It was great. It didn't cover everything. It wasn't being a football player. They weren't one percenters on campus. They weren't celebrities. It didn't pay for everything. They didn't travel on private jets and go to five-star hotels. But it was great that some of the tuition got paid for. Or some semesters, all of it. That was a blessing. Loved it. It certainly was not communism. The school wasn't taking advantage of my kid because my kid was smarter than some other students. That's not communism. I love people on the right. I cannot believe so many people on the right have viewed college athletics this way. And it seems like a contradiction for me to not say, hey, it should be open free market capitalism, which it can be. I'm not saying this is against the law. I'm saying it's going to ruin the sport. It's not, they can't organize it properly. They can't. They don't have any rules in place. The NCAA will not have the ability to do this. It's going to be upon conferences to do it themselves. Each conference to say, these are our rules, and here's how we're going to do this. That's what it's going to come down to. And we're going to try not to cheat each other. But we now see with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, they don't care if they cheat each other in a conference. They don't care. There's no honor among thieves. This is rampant behavior. It's run wild. And I'm sorry. I see, as someone who loves capitalism and on the right, I think the capitalism is very simple. Here's what I'm offering. Do you want it or not? And for 100 years, the schools were offering a great deal and everyone took it. And then all of a sudden the left said, this is unfair. That's not enough. These people are stars. They're big names. They're national celebrities. Yeah. They got a chance to go on American Idol and freaking win it. And they went on American Idol and they won it. And then they got a music contract. They got to go to Nashville and record an album. Then they got to do a show in Vegas and do all this stuff. And all the, and everybody made money on them along the way. All the producers, all the directors, all the songwriters, all the production companies, they all made money off that artist along the way. But guess what? It was great for the artist. They got the opportunity to become a star and win American freaking Idol. Nobody ever complained going on American Idol for no money, getting exposure, winning, and becoming rich and famous. That's what college athletics is. It's your American Idol. It's your tryout. And it's always been that way. And it worked. And I don't hear a single person saying that Family Feud is a fraud. They don't pay enough money to... Let's be honest. Family Feud's a silly little game. What's interesting about Family Feud? The families are funny. They interview these families. They find people that are funny, that are entertaining, that you're going to look at and you can't take your eyes off of. Usually there's a hot young girl in the group and a hot young guy. And then there's older people that are just wacko or people that laugh or act silly. They're half the show. The other half is Steve Harvey. It ain't the damn game. It's these people, and they get paid nothing for the opportunity to make something. And they don't turn it down. When Family Feud says, we'll take you, we want you to be on the show, people don't turn it down. You don't turn down American Idol, and you don't turn down a college football team. Clay Travis is wrong. This is not communism. That is unhinged. That is out of control, insanely wrong. And embarrassing from somebody on the right to say that. Because let's go ask Clay Travis. If I had Clay Travis on this show right now, because he is a notorious, I'm telling you, in the industry, the people that work for him, I have known people that have worked for him. He is the notoriously cheap and low-paying guy you've ever seen. He's got people working at Outkick that live in little shacky apartments that can barely scrape it together. He does. He doesn't pay them anything. Why? Because this is their chance. You get to write for Outkick, you become known a little bit, and you can go get a big job. He sits there with his business with the exact same model of college athletics and then calls college athletics communism. Dude, I'm pissed at Clay Travis. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of hearing crap like that from people like him, and he's on our side. You want me to, I'll make some calls. I'll find some guys that are making 30 grand a year working for Outkick, which is a national outfit that had to relocate and move to Nashville, and they're making less than $3,000 a month and after taxes trying to scrape it together in a $750 apartment with a roommate, a stranger that they found because they moved to Nashville, and they're sitting in there working 60 hours a week, slopping stuff together for his website, making nothing because Clay Travis looks at him and says, well, this is your chance. This is your chance to go be a star. You're going to get known if you work here at Outkick. You want to talk communism? Let's talk about that, Clay Travis. Everybody in our industry knows you pay nothing. Nothing. To these people for the opportunity to come in and get known. Shame on you and your stance on college athletics. You are blinded by SEC football. You are blinded by the Tennessee Volunteers. You have lost credibility, in my mind, as a conservative pundit on this singular issue. Maybe I'll just give you a pass because I know you're crazy when it comes to college football. You've lost your freaking mind. Okay? You want to talk communism? 18-year-old kid who may never even get on the field to play football at the University of Tennessee that gets $500,000 worth of stuff and a college education, a diploma on the way out the door, they're treating him a hell of a lot better than you're treating your low-end employees. I can promise you that. I guarantee you the college graduates that you're hiring at age 23 to work for you have it worse, and their scale, their life is worse working for you than any college athlete on scholarship under the old rules playing football at Tennessee. That makes you a fraud. You want to talk communism? Let's talk about Clay Travis's employees and what they're making. The newbies, the newly minted college grads that come in there and work for Dick. Honestly. Ooh, does this make me hot? But you know what? I'm all 99% of everything with Clay Travis I'm on board with. Okay? What has me upset here is what's happening to college athletics. I think you can hear it in my voice. What's happening with college athletics is what has me upset because I've spent my lifetime loving and enjoying college athletics, and I think it's over. I think my passion for college football and basketball will never be the same. I've seen enough already. I've seen enough. Look, I went to a school right now that has two basketball players. There's two. There's two players. Does anybody know this? There's two players on the K-State team that were there last year. They got some guys coming in. They've signed a couple. They've still got four or five scholarships to give. It's almost the 1st of June. It's summer. What are they going to do? They had a first team, all Big 12 player, and he just left for $900,000. Boom, gone. And there are two players at K-State. We think this is good for college athletics? And actually, it was a player that was already there. It wasn't a recruiting situation, but it was. He entered the transfer portal. It became a recruiting situation. Miami pays $900,000. Nigel Pack is gone. Nigel Pack stays. New coach comes in. Some other players go, Nigel Pack's a great player. Let's go play with him. Maybe there's some players would be signing with Kansas State right now. And we go, hey, maybe this season will be kind of fun. New coach, new way, we'll see. Right now, is Kansas State going to win a Big 12 game? That's the question. Will they win one Big 12 game? They have two, folks, they have two players. This is what NIL does to college athletics. You change your coach, you have two players. They have two. We're entering summer. Kansas State has two players returning from last year. Two. Not starters. Two on the roster. Good for the SEC football teams, I guess. But my God, look how it's ripping them apart. Look at Nick Saban. Look at Jimbo Fisher. Look at what's happening with these coaches and what they're doing to each other. People are losing their minds over this thing. It's absolutely crazy. Well, you don't have to lose your mind if your windows are rotting out on your house, because Window World is there for you. With American-made windows, doors, and siding with a lifetime warranty and 0% interest. You want to call for a free analysis and estimate? Call Window World at 816-799-0820. Anywhere in Kansas and Missouri or Iowa, they're simply the best for less. Window World is the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. I have known John Gillette for years and years and years. He's the owner and the operator, and their customer service is the best in the industry. They're wonderful people. They will treat you right, and they'll fix you up. Online at windowskansascity.com. Advanced medical imaging, no more waiting. You need an MRI or a CT scan? Get outside your expensive, time-consuming hospital chain and get your scan today or tomorrow at Advanced Medical Imaging. They're located in Lawrence. Online at medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. Call Tricia to schedule your appointment. Your doctor does not have to refer you there either. If you have insurance, it's used at medimageks.com. They'll take it. You don't have to stay in your hospital chain. Call Tricia. Do not wait. If your doctor says you need a scan, do not wait 3 weeks. Get it now at medimageks.com. Call Tricia, 785-856-0224. And Tim Cross, we've been trading voicemails, but apparently a few of you have already scheduled appointments with Tim. I got one email back from somebody who sat down with Tim and said, it's exactly what you said it is, Kevin. What an unbelievable guy. We had a terrific meeting with Tim, talked about our project. He put his phone down. It buzzed a couple of times. It was on the table upside down, and he didn't even look at it. While he was with us, we were the only thing that mattered. I'm telling you, folks, I know these people. I know these folks that own these businesses. You matter. You matter in a big way, especially when they know you're part of this family, because we are all in one family. Cross Kitchens is like that. This gentleman was talking to him about remodeling their kitchen. He said, I couldn't believe how attentive he was. His phone buzzed a couple times. He did not break. He kept working with us. He didn't look at his phone until after he walked out of the house. That matters. That matters. This is a great young businessman with a family-owned and operated business that would love the opportunity to improve your life by improving your home, your kitchen. CrossKitchensKC.com. And Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental, he is your new dentist. That's it. Dr. Bush is the best in the city. He's the best dentist in Kansas City. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. He's been the dentist to all the athletes. He's the Big 12's dentist at the basketball tournament. He's courtside. He's at games. He's an emergency dentist at sporting events all over Kansas City. He has unbelievable stories to tell. You want to get in his chair? You don't have to talk because you're at the dentist, right? Just tell me a story, Dr. Bush. Tell me a good sports story. He'll tell you a great sports story because he's the dentist to all of these things. He's that good. He can be your dentist too. NKCDental.com, just north the river or in Westwood on the West Plaza. Online at NKCDental.com. A couple of other sports notes. Max Scherzer has always been a favorite of mine. He's a Mizzou great. We know that. He's always just been that guy that pitches with everything he has every night out. And he's been lucky. He's not been injury prone. He's been a max effort, pardon the pun, max effort guy his whole career, Hall of Fame career. He's one of the great pitchers of our generation. And he's also one of those guys that you just never question. You know, you used to watch Lorenzo Cain, who was at one point my favorite Royal. Lorenzo Cain would run like a gazelle, you know, and track down a ball and climb the wall and get it. And then he'd limp off the field like he would never play in a game again. It would, oh, or he'd walk to the plate with a limp and it looked like he could barely make it to the plate. And then he'd step in and hit a home run and you'd just be like, wow. Some of that was, I don't know what it was with Lorenzo Cain. He was never really that hurt. But this looks so hard. We've seen guys like that. But then when they got to go, they go. Never questioned his effort playing the game. A lot of times it would show. He'd beat out an infield single, and then after he got past first base, he'd act like he just ran the Boston Marathon. Oh, God, I'm so dead. Oh. And he'd walk back to first like he's just about to die, and then he'd steal second base on the first pitch. So maybe that was part of his game. I don't know. But you notice that. Mahomes is the same way. You ever watch Mahomes go from the sideline to the huddle when it's time to go in? If you're at Arrowhead sometime, watch this. Chiefs, okay, the other team punts, Chiefs get the ball. Watch Mahomes walk out on the field. You watch him walk out and you're like, you don't know who he is. It's the first time you've seen him play. You're like, who's this loser? Look at this guy slopping his butt out onto the field. This guy can't play. And then it's just magic. Some guys are like that. Not Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer, every pitch, every time, grind, just glorious. A couple of nights ago, he throws a pitch and, you know, his arm didn't fall off. So it wasn't that reaction. He turns to the dugout and he takes his fingers on his right hand, his four fingers, not his thumb, and he does the throat slash to his own dugout, to his manager. Not a violent one, like I'm coming after you, just like, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. And they looked at him and he goes, with his left hand, he motions him out to the mound and he does the throat slash again. He goes, I'm done. So in baseball, you don't walk off the field as a pitcher. You get taken out. And he looked to his manager, he goes, come on, out here. And they didn't know what to do. And they eventually walk out and they talk to him and they're not there very long. And he says, I'm done. I think he said, I'm effing done. I could be wrong. He said, I'm effing done. And they're like, okay. And they walk him off and he goes in the dugout and he walks down, he goes in the tunnel and he's out. He has a strained oblique. I think it was on his left side, which is opposite his pitching shoulder. But he knew the second he threw the pitch that something went wrong. He didn't writhe in pain. He didn't show any pain. He didn't show anything. He turned to the dugout and he goes, I'm done. It was unbelievable. It was the most Max Scherzer moment you've ever seen. And Max Scherzer is the pitcher and the athlete that I love, and here's why. The second he did it and said, come take me out of this game, you had no doubt he was hurt. None. It wasn't like, I know a lot of fans were like, well, we hope he just tweaks something. No. Max Scherzer tweaks something. He's going to keep pitching. He knew the second he threw the pitch that he'd done something bad, and he said, come get me. He's out 8 weeks. That's the bad part of the story. The good part of the story is we need more athletes and competitors like Max Scherzer. We just need more. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Go check it out. It was a remarkable moment. And I was watching, we saw it happen on the highlight thing with Jessica. I said, he's hurt. I said, if Scherzer took himself out of the game, he's hurt. This is not good. And it's not. It's going to be 8 weeks, strained oblique. Man, oh man, what a great competitor, great pitcher. And you didn't know he's hurt. That's why everybody had such hope. He walked off. He didn't show the other team where it hurt. He didn't point to his left side. He didn't rub his oblique. He didn't do anything. He's just like, I'm out. I'm out. Come get me. And he walked out, and he didn't slam anything in the dugout, and he went down the tunnel. That was that. This guy is – Max Scherzer is so high up my list. Love that guy. The PGA Championship is underway, and it's quite a test. Did you notice it was 84 degrees in Tulsa yesterday, and the pros were having trouble with the heat? These guys do nothing but play in the heat all over the world. They get to Tulsa. The wind wasn't blowing. It was 84 with 71% humidity. Tiger Woods looked like he put his golf clothes on and went for a swim when he was done. He wasn't alone. He was not alone. You know, these guys wear these clothes so tight, the golfers now, and they were just soaked. They're going to have quite a test this weekend because they had the humidity and the heat of Thursday. It's cooling off. It's also going to rain this weekend. So they're going to play in every possible condition. Rory McIlroy had the first round lead. What I like about this PGA is it's a really tough golf course, and over the next 4 days, because of weather conditions and course conditions, everyone's game is going to be completely tested. The winner of this thing will have earned it. This is going to be a great – moving the PGA up to May from August has been the best thing ever for the PGA. I'm thrilled they moved this tournament up, and it's going to be a fun watch. They're all there. Tiger shot four over – and we'll see how he does on Thursday and if he makes the cut. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindquist and his team can help your business, plain and simple, with better products, better services, more efficiency, and a higher profit. Call 913-745-5344. The call is free. The consultation is free with 360documentsolutions.com. Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. We coined the new slogan for Amazing Garage Floors. It's for people with concrete. amazinggaragefloors.net is for people with concrete. You have sidewalks and a driveway, you need to seal it. You have a garage floor, you should coat it. They can do all this stuff for you. Amazinggaragefloors.net for people, for homeowners with concrete. That's what it is. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City for your convenience. Dr. Jeremy says summer is the best time for your young one to get braces or Invisalign. They're going to spend their first few months in the program away from school and everyone that they see, which is great for a 13-year-old. So contact Fry Orthodontics right now and get your first appointment and start your program this summer when your youngster is not in school. Your smile is just the start, but a beautiful smile for a lifetime is really a great gift for a kid. It really, truly is. It inspires confidence. This is not a vanity thing. We, you know, it's not, oh, I want my kid to be beautiful or whatever. You just, in the real world, as you grow older, you need to have a good smile. It just benefits your life in so many ways. Fry Orthodontics, 469-9191, or log on to fryorthodontics.com. In the news, there's a lot of fallout and reaction from the Kansas redistricting. Most people talking about District 3 now being winnable for the Republicans. We spent a great deal of time on that Thursday and did the victory lap on that. But the aftermath of the decision is more fun, maybe, than the actual decision. The city of Lawrence has now just collectively lost its mind. The city of Lawrence is this pocket of liberalism in the middle of America that is a little freakier, creepier, and farther left than most college towns. It's become that. Lawrence has become that community. It is surrounded by people that live just outside Lawrence that are most, that are the most conservative people anywhere in America, and they can't believe what's happening in Lawrence and at the University of Kansas. They just can't. It's become a very far left liberal school in a very far left liberal city. Well, what happened in Lawrence after this, the redistricting included taking Lawrence and throwing them into a new district, the Big Red One. The Big Red First is what they call it. The Big Red One is the military installation at Fort Riley. The Big Red First is the first district in Kansas. It has the most counties, the most geography, the most space. It is all of western Kansas. It goes down around Wichita. And now it stretches to Lawrence. They've said the first district in Kansas is so red that we'll take Lawrence. And people in Lawrence have lost their minds. They're like, we have no reason to vote anymore. Okay. You're in the minority in the state by a long shot. It's not close. It's probably, Kansas is close to 60-40. Close to 60-40. But where it has really hit home is in Lawrence, and they're really, really mad. They feel like their votes have been taken away. This is pretty funny. And I'm only mean this politically. Folks, when you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with KU or KU basketball or football. It doesn't. The school is what it is. Love your team. This is not anything about your team, okay? This is not a sports commentary. This is what Lawrence is, and we all know how wacko left it's gone. The beautiful part of this is Lawrence. What's been their pitch forever for kids in Kansas City to go to school there? Oh, it's close to home. It's not way out in western Kansas like Manhattan or something, you know, 90 minutes away. That's always been their pitch. They're sort of a suburban school for Kansas City kids to go to college there. It's been a huge draw for them for many, many years. So this goes against the fabric of their community because so many people are tied to the school, the university, work there, whatever. This goes against their fabric. The district that Lawrence is now in is the first district in Kansas, which means their congressional district. Are you ready for this? Lawrence. See, if you live in Lawrence and you vote in Lawrence, your congressional district is a Colorado border district. Lawrence's congressional district now borders Colorado. I mean, come on. If you can't laugh at that a little bit. So this is a win for Republicans. You got to, I mean, at least laugh at that part. I'm the same way. Look, I went to K-State. Manhattan's got a bunch of liberal voters, too. Anybody that works at the university is 80% chance they're liberal. It's all funny. It's all in good fun. Politics and athletics are two different beasts, okay? Laugh this one off. Your wacko professors at KU and K-State or whatever, any place, when wacko professors that are indoctrinating our kids and living in a place like Lawrence, turning it into San Francisco of the Midwest, while they're doing that, they get farmed out in a congressional district that borders the state of Colorado. That's funny as hell. I'm not going to lie to you. That's just funny. The state Supreme Court, by the way, is 5-2 Dem appointees. I mentioned that yesterday. All five of the Democrats were appointed by this governor, Kelly, or Sebelius, the women liberal governors that we've had. did this, and I don't know how we get it back. I don't know how we get the court back, because it's been ruling against the GOP for quite some time. We probably need Schmidt to be governor for at least 8 years and hope that some of these people are gone and he can appoint some conservatives in there. Obviously, we'll need a couple of those to leave. A couple to leave and a couple appointed, and then the Republicans could have everything in Kansas and run it as a uniparty. That sounds good to me. $40 billion approved by the Senate, Congress, to go to Biden's desk to get signed to give to Ukraine. I'm just giving them $40 billion. I mean, gas is pretty high. Inflation's out of control. The stock markets are in the tank. Our borders open. We got problems in America, self-inflicted, by the way. Infighting, almost everything that we have here that's a problem is infighting. We're going to give $40 billion to Ukraine. The crazy thing with the American people is that doesn't sound like a lot of money, because we've done trillion-dollar acts, you know, giving away $1 trillion. $40 billion doesn't sound like much, but it is a lot. 11 Republicans voted no in the Senate, including Marshall in Kansas and Hawley in Missouri. Mitch McConnell, your leader in the Senate, has excoriated the 11 senators that voted against this, including Marshall and Hawley, that they're un-American and they didn't do the right thing. I think foreign wars that we have no interest in, that we're spending money in, is a rabbit hole. I think time and time again, if you look at what we've done between Vietnam, the Gulf War, Afghanistan, all the different things that we've become entrapped in that aren't really winnable, we're not defending our country. We don't have any real reason to be there. We just get involved because we don't like this country's doing this to this country, so we just go spend our money there and get involved. I think history shows that every time we've done that, we shouldn't have been there. We pulled out. We got out. When we got out, Americans were happy. I think the 11 senators that voted no on this, 10 years from now, will look really smart. You can be down on them today. I think most Americans want to support Ukraine right now. I want to support them. I just don't, at this point, want to print more money and give it to them and have more inflation in this country. And I don't want any of our people involved. And I really don't want to poke Russia with too big a stick. Not interested. It's not our fight. I'm with Hawley and Marshall. I would have voted no on this one. We've done enough already. The Babylon Bee is a fun website. It's The Onion. It's a parody site for conservative politics. They invent stories. These are fake stories, but they're comedic. They're funny. Babylon Bee, a few months ago, as gas prices were going up, did a story about how gas stations were tearing down their signs outside the gas station and putting them up with new, wider signs, anticipating higher gas prices. They'd need bigger signs out front because they'd have to go to double digits, right? It was a joke. It was on the Babylon Bee. It was a joke. It was a joke. Gas at that time was average $3.50 a gallon or something. We're only a third of the way to $10 a gallon. Well, now we got places where it's almost $7 a gallon. They're out of gas in Washington. It's coming. It's getting worse. Biden's America is real. It's here. And we have multiple oil companies now saying they're reconfiguring their gas pumps. The gas pumps are not, there's not a gas pump in America that is configured and able and ready right now to have $10 a gallon gas. So if you want to know the truth about what's going on in America, you follow private companies. You follow private business. What you see right now is 76 Oil, and I think Chevron and some others have said, we're reconfiguring pumps on the West Coast. We're preparing for $10 a gallon. So when we have to charge that, our pumps are ready to do it. But what else you got to know? Babylon Bee made up a story. It was funny. It was comedic. People laughed, and now it's coming true. What a shame about where we are in America. Associated Press says Joe Biden has reached a new low. Associated Press poll says 2 in 10 Americans believe we're going in the right direction now. This was about, well, it's gone from somewhere in the 50s, right direction, down to, well, last week we had 73 and then 76%. This is almost 80% now. 80% say we're in the wrong direction. 2 in 10. According to the Associated Press, say we're in the right direction. Of the people who say, of Democrats that are out there polled, only 33% of Democrats say we're going in the right direction. And that's ultimately their hard base. You can't really get below 30% on that, because Democrats are going to lie to pollsters. It could be going really bad. Like Trump could have been president. It could have been going really bad. And about a third of us would have said, oh, we think we're in the right direction because our guy's in the White House. So that's a reflection of people saying, we're okay. We have a Democrat in the White House. These people are stupid. They don't understand politics. They don't know how bad Democrats are for America. They don't. They don't understand that Democrats are for Democrats. They're never for America. Dems are for Dems, and that's it. Dems the brakes. Dems are for Dems. That's it. They're mostly for Dems in their machine. They're not really even for Democrat voters. They haven't done much for their voters in the inner cities. What have they done to make cities in America better? They've gotten worse and worse and worse. They've had a stranglehold for 60 years on America's cities, on the vote in America's cities. The Democrats have had a stranglehold. Have the cities improved? No. They haven't. They still have a stranglehold on that vote. I have no idea how, but that's the way it works. 39% of all polled approve of Joe Biden. See, yeah, Biden's okay. That's just got to be lying Democrats. How could you be polled and say you think Joe Biden is up for the job? That's, to me, that's a staggering one. That's a crazy one. When you personally ask about Joe Biden, you know, is he up for the job? You approve of him as your president. Is he doing okay? And 39% of people say yes. Boy, I hope to God they're lying. I do, because if there are that many stupid people that don't see and don't know, then, man, that is a scary, scary, scary thought. Back 9 Development is the Midwest's premier home builder, custom home builder. Great custom homes with all kinds of energy-efficient ideas for you to save you money as time goes by with a home that is so well built, you can't believe it. TJ Vilkanskas would love to sit down with you and discuss your project. Anywhere you live, the Kansas City area, St. Joe, Lawrence, Lansing, Topeka, Manhattan, Ottawa, Emporia, Warrensburg, Harrisonville, you got it, man. Back9development.com. You got a project, a building project, you need to meet with him. Just meet with him and see if you're a match. 785-236-0161. His portfolio is on the website. Go check out the amazing things he builds. From commercial projects to apartments, condos, custom homes, back9development.com. Back9development.com. And our friends at the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Restaurant Indoor Entertainment Center in Manhattan. If you're traveling on business or headed out to play Colbert Hills or spending a weekend in Manhattan for sports in the fall, book your stay at the Bluemont Hotel. It is a unique hotel experience, locally owned and operated, not some impersonal franchise. JJ's the general manager. She's been there since day one when they opened. She knows many of their guests on a first-name basis because they travel on business. They work at the NBAF facility there. They work somehow with Kansas State. If yet, there's a lot of business going on in Manhattan. This NBAF facility that was built is unbelievable. The Agro Bio Center, there's a lot of commerce and business taking place private in Manhattan. And if you now have business in Manhattan, the Bluemont Hotel is the perfect place to stay. It's right across from campus and right across from Aggieville. It's right in between. They have live music every week. And Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center is part of the Bluemont Hotel complex. Denzel Goolsby was a former team captain of the Wildcats. He's got a great place. Wonderful food, 30 taps on the wall. You pour your own beer. They have golf simulators, duck pin bowling, hunt ducks, pigs, or aliens. They've got a home run derby thing indoors. It's field goal kicking. It's fun. This is the place to stay in Manhattan. You're headed there with your little league team this summer. You got a tournament in Manhattan. Take the whole team. They got suites. You could put all the little buggers in there. They got these big suites upstairs. You'll wind up saving money if you get one of the suites. You could probably put 6 or 8 kids in one of these suites with a couple of adults. Load it up, man. When you're going for your ball tournament or your soccer tournament in Manhattan this summer, Bluemont Hotel. Don't think about staying anywhere else. It's fantastic. And Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Love those guys. Love them a lot, and we love you as listeners of KKHI. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you'd like to sign up and become a patron, we'll do the newsletter. I'm going to do a patron podcast today on Friday, and we're going to do the newsletter on Saturday. I'd hoped to do a patron podcast yesterday, but something happened that prevented that. We'll do another patron podcast today and the newsletter coming out on Saturday. If you'd like to be part of that program, it's real simple. Go sign up at kkhasissues.com. If not, just tell your friends or yourself. Hit the like or follow button, which means you're basically subscribing to the podcast, which is free, but it helps a lot. Helps spread the word, and I hope you can spread the word and tell somebody you run into this weekend that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.